Thanks, Rob. Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we give this time into your mighty hands, O Lord. Lord, we thank you for who you are. You're a wonder-working God. You're the Lord who made the people of Israel to cross the river of Jordan, but also you gave the promised land to them, O Father. Even as we come this morning, O Father, as we look into your word, we pray the Lord will bless our hearts with your word to the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to grow in faith as we listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, we're going to look at Joshua chapter 3. I remember a few years ago, I met a friend and you asked me, hey, what is your favorite scripture passage? I was like, when somebody asks you a question suddenly, you're like, oh, you have so many scriptures in your mind, but I don't know which one to share. And this friend said, hey, don't worry. The best idea is whenever somebody asks you that question, whatever passage you've been meditating upon or the one you recently read will be something to share, will be helpful for you. So as I was preparing for this week, I was wondering what passage to preach on because we don't have a series for this week, this month. So I've been spending some time on a personal study on the book of Joshua. And I was really stunned by the way how the presence of God was in the middle of people of Israel and leading them. We all know that, but we need time and again a reminder for our lives that God is in our midst and He is leading us. And He's doing great wonders among us, and we need to come in response in faith and thank Him. So as we look at this passage, we see that it is many times we look at the Red Sea crossing and there's a movie about the Red Sea crossing and there is so many things talks about the Red Sea crossing. When it comes to the crossing of the River of Jordan, there's not much highlight for that. But as much the Red Sea is important for the people of Israelites, the crossing of the River of Jordan is important as well. When God brought them out of the slavery of Egypt, He parted the waters so that they can walk in the dry grounds. And as they entered into the promised land, God is doing again the same thing by parting the waters so they can walk on the dry grounds to enter into the promised land. It doesn't matter how big the miracle is, how small the miracle is. The important thing in our life is, it is the God who is performing that miracle in our midst. And God is using every single wonders and amazing things in our life to bring glory to His name. As we see this passage, the passage starts with, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim, went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you ought to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark and do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. See, as we look at this passage, the Ark of the Covenant symbolizes the sign of Yahweh's presence among His people. It's reminding us that it is Yahweh Himself is who is leading the people into the Canaan, the promised land, who cuts off the flooding waters and holds them back, as it were, with his own hands. So I'm going to bring you three important points. One is, the first one, the perception of Yahweh's work. The perception of Yahweh's work. See, as we look at this passage, Joshua giving orders to his officers, and the officers are going and telling the people, there are so many people waiting for days in preparation to cross the river. Not just a few days, but actually when you look at it, they've been waiting for months to enter into this land. But actually, if you look back, they've been waiting for 40 years in the desert. Or if you go back, maybe 500 years of promise that God has given to Abraham. All this waiting is coming to an end as they're going to cross the river of Jordan and enter into the promised land. And God gives the instruction to Joshua, to his officers, to tell the people, there are N numbers of people, 200,000 to million, we don't know how many people, they multiplied. There's so many there. And as they were waiting, they're going and giving this instruction to them. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go. And there should be a distance between the Ark of the Covenant and the people. So, why is that distance? So the distance here, what we look at here is, it talks about 2,000 cubits, which somewhere around 3,000 feet or 900 meters, which is almost like a 10 times of a football stadium. Why not closer? Why that far? Why do you have to perceive from that far? See, in 2 Samuel 6, it talks about when the Ark of the Covenant was moved. Here's this man who tried to hold it because it was slipping, and the holiness of God struck him. So is it about the holiness of God that the passage is talking about, so that you can keep distance from it? Here, the author is trying to tell us the distance is about so that you'll know which path to go. And also, you will know what the Lord is doing ahead of you. It's not only the path that they need to go, but also to see the miraculous hand of God that is working in front of them. Because God's presence is among the people of Israel. And they need to witness that it is God's doing and it is not man's doing. Because at times this human mind works in a very funny way. It tries to misunderstand many things rather than understanding the way how it has been shown to us. Here God wants you to perceive in a way from a distance to see this is Lord's work. And what God is doing in our midst is Lord's work. And he also says in verse 5, consecrate yourself for tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. It's not only about the distance he's talking about, but he also talks about the attitude. How do you perceive Yahweh's work? From a distance, seeing that Lord is doing this work, but also with the attitude. With what kind of attitude you come and receive and perceive God's work? Because at times, we don't set apart ourselves for some of the work of the Lord. Here, God clearly commands us, the people of Israelites, consecrate yourself, because tomorrow the Lord is going to do wonders, amazing thing among you. See, amazing thing is not something like what we see in daily life. What God is saying here to his people is, it's a miraculous thing that only God can do. To receive this kind of thing, you come with a heart of preparation. You come with a heart of insight. Come with a heart of expectancy. Come with a heart of preparation to receive it. So what happens if you don't do that? Why bother about this consecration and setting apart or preparation? Because at times what happens is, it is very crucial for us, because Israel need to recognize it is God's work. What happens is, indeed, Yahweh's work. If unless we perceive and receive with the heart of insight and expectancy and preparation, we will not understand the value and significance of what the Lord is doing in the midst of us. When we don't receive with the heart of expectancy, we will not understand the value and the significance of what the Lord is doing in us. So that's so important. How do you perceive the Lord's work? So here we see God is telling them to follow from a distance and come with a heart of consecration to see what the Lord is doing in the midst of them. And as we come together, when you come to worship the Lord, are we coming with a heart of expectation that the Lord is willing to do marvelous things in the midst of us? Are we coming with a heart of preparation? You know, even this morning as we come to this public worship as one congregation, as one family together, do we come with a heart of preparation to see the marvelous work of the Lord that is taking place in the midst of us? The second one is the assurance of Yahweh's power. The assurance of Yahweh's power. I'm reading verse 9. Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites." See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priest who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. The assurance of Yahweh's power is the second one I want to talk to you about. So this narrative underscores the assurance of God's power among the people of Israelites. So before the crossing, Joshua had predicted, "By this you will know that the living God is among you, and he will certainly drive out your enemies." So it is not that God is a God who gets you into the land, but he's also God who gives you the land. And that's the assurance for his people. It's not the God who calms the raging river, but he is also the God who conquers the angry Amorites who are awaiting to fight the people of Israelites. God is not a God who does one thing and leave the rest. The one who started the good work in us, he will bring it to completion. That's what Paul says in Romans 8:32. "If God did not hold back, but gave up his own son for us, if he went that far, can we not then rest assured that he will grant all other provision also in our lives?" So it was the reasoning that important here, the reasoning of faith. See, when Israelites, when you read in the chapter Exodus chapter 16, they were grumbling against the leaders and Moses, saying, "Where is our food? Where is our water? We would have been better in Egypt." But they completely forgot about reasoning the faith in what happened in Exodus chapter 14 and 15, where God has done miraculous work among them and brought them out of Egypt. But then at times, again and again, God has to remind them that God is in the midst of them and doing wonderful works. We need to reason our faith. If God has brought you all the way, that God will also keep you. I remember as a migrant in this country. 12 years ago, I came here. It's a very challenging life. You come here, you have nobody, no friends, no family. Some may have. It's hard, you know, you're completely you're whitewashed. You're starting fresh. Imagine a life with no emotional support or any sort of support. So you go through a phase of life, very challenging, and God alone being there for many people who could witness with me in this congregation. I meet with a lot of migrant families. Sometimes some of the challenges they share with me, I don't know answers for that. But one thing comes to me is this: if God has brought you thus far into this nation, He will keep you and He will bless you. And I've seen, see, these words are not mine. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says the Lord who have started the good work, He will bring into completion. And in personal note, I've seen that happening in our personal circumstances. Those might be simple words, but even recently there was a family, this Indian boy, you know, he grew up without his father, just his brother and mom, gone through so much of struggle in his life, and he wants to, you know, be somebody who be a role model in his life without a male figure in his family. So he studied well, he came over, did his studies in MIT. He's a very faithful young Christian boy. He applied for a visa, he got a very good job. So to get a visa, you need to, whatever you have studied, you need to have a similar job that goes with the subjects you have studied in this country so that you can get your visa. And with your visa, there is a process. From work visa, you come to residency, and so on. And then you'll have a privilege to stay in this country. And this young man stayed here 4 years in this country. He finished his studies. It's very expensive for international students. It's like four times the fees of the local students. He finished his studies. He worked so hard to repay back all that money by himself within 2 years of time. And he applied for residency. He got a good job for what he studied, and everything was going well. So he was staying here in the campus, and he got an opportunity to go to Wellington. And everything was going well. Suddenly, he was made redundant because of all the challenges that our country is going through, inflation and other things. And his whole life was broken. His whole life was broken. All this dream for these many years and this 4 years of hard work is all gone in a fraction of a second. He was tearing up. He doesn't know what to do. He's like, I've just left only 3 more months. I don't know what's going to happen in my life. If I go back, I don't know how I'm going to survive because I have to start fresh again. As I was talking to him on the phone, I said, if God has brought you all the way here, trust in the Lord. He will bring the best for you. And he called me a few weeks ago and said, praise God, you got a similar opportunity, which helps him with his residency application, which is going on. I don't know how much it means to you, but for people who come from other countries, it's something life-changing. Not just for him, his family, and for many others in their country. See, God is doing great things among us. The one who started will bring to completion. And here we see the Lord who have taken them crossing the river, but also is a living God who is going to give the promised land to them. And He will do it by His own hands. Now the rescue at the Red Sea, the crossing of the Jordan, and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ are the explosions of God's power that meant to fill our whole life. As believers, it should bring that assurance in our life that the God who mightily handles all these emergencies, all these big, big challenges, is surely adequate enough to meet a small crisis in life. Whatever that said before us, if God can do all this thing, those problems that we face in our life is nothing compared to what He has done and He has shown and revealed in the Scriptures. The assurance of God's power. The third point I want to share with you is the strangeness of Yahweh's method. Verse 14 to 17. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage, all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and the feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Here, God has a very unconventional way, method. To do miraculous things in our life. See, there is as all this narration is going on, there's this information which has been inserted there, verse 15. The Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Why God has to bring the people? Jordan is a river. There are many times in the history, because of earthquake, it stopped. The river stopped flowing for 21 days or many days. It happened many times. Why God has to bring the people at this time of the year, and why this information needs to be there, and why the author has to insert this snippet into this place of Jordan is at flood stage. Because God wants us to see that it is not by your work that you have crossed it, it is by His work. He wants to show that His might in the face of utter helplessness, so that we cannot help seeing that we contribute nothing to our deliverance. It is completely by His deliverance that we are saved. He brings these impossible situations and circumstances into our life, which is so helpless. Helpless situations to make it, to show that only by His grace and power that we are delivered and that we are saved. See, crossing the Jordan, there are times of the year the river stream is not at the flooding stage. And the strong men could have crossed. Imagine at the flooding stage, not men, but the people, the women, the children, all that belongings they have. It is not by their might. As the Ark of the Covenant carried by the priest went ahead of them, as it stood in the middle of the river, they could see the presence of God. That God doing that work. Because at times, again and again, men has a way of bragging and taking pride in things that they do not do.
But we had to come back in humble submission to the Lord so that Lord's name will be lifted up and not our name. As I come to the end, I just want to want you look at the Ark of the Covenant. Is the word has been repeated almost 17 times in these two chapters, 3 and 4. Especially in this chapter, it's almost 13 to 14 times it has been repeated. As I spoke to you earlier, it talks about, it signifies the presence of God and the character of God among God's people. And Joshua, you know, God wants Joshua to tell his people, let your eyes be set on the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, and not on any other thing, so that you will know it's God's doing. So we know in our life, at times, when we go through troubled times and difficult situation, let our eyes not be set on the problems or the challenges or difficulties. Let our eyes be set on the Lord who have called you, the Lord who have saved you, the Lord who have delivered you. Because every single thing in our life is a miracle. You know, from the miracle of regeneration in our life to the Holy Spirit, where we are born again. The miracle of justification, that we are made righteous in the presence of God through Jesus Christ. It's a miracle. Even the miracle in glorification, one day that in our resurrection body, we're going to be raised to be with the Lord. Time and again, everything that happens in our life is a miracle, but we need to appreciate and praise God for it. So sometimes we look at the bigger miracles and forget about the smaller miracles. But every miracle is important to give praise to God. So the miracle itself is not important. It's the God who is doing the miracle in midst of us. See, the last 2 years, God has been doing amazing things in our life. My plea and my heart's cry is that as we come in this new year, can we come with a heart of expectancy and preparation for what God is going to do in the midst of us? In our lives, in our families, in our congregation, and in our community. Because the scripture says the ark of the Lord of all the earth, not just for the people of Israelites, for everyone. He wants not only the people of Israelites to see what the Lord is doing, even the Gentiles, the unbelievers who does not know the Lord, to see the mighty power of God. And people who know the Lord come in reverence and continuously in faith and trusting the power of God. See, as we all know, the Ark of the Covenant is the fulfillment that we see in Jesus Christ. As the Ark of the Covenant was in the middle of the river during the flooding season, where God stopped it with his own hands, mighty power, so that people can cross on the dry ground to the other side. Jesus Christ who stood in the middle of the flood of God's wrath because of our rebellious nature, because of our sinfulness, where the God's wrath was to come upon us, but Jesus took it all upon him. God's wrath was exhausted on him so that today you and I can live in him, be justified in him, and come into holiness to worship God through Jesus. We are made righteous through Jesus. So what do? Let's set our eyes on Jesus and expect great things that God is doing in the midst of us. Let's close our eyes and pray.
Heavenly Father, we give this time into your mighty hands, O Lord. Lord, as we come to you as a congregation, the words that we heard, O Lord, we pray the Lord will bless our hearts and help us to understand what the Lord is doing in midst of us, O Father. The Lord who parted the ways, parted the waters of Red Sea, parted the River Jordan, O Lord. Is the same Lord is in our midst and doing wonderful things. Lord, we pray the Lord will continue to help us to focus on you and you alone and not anywhere else, O Father. Not to trust in men, not to trust in any other worldly things, not to trust in our own strength, but to trust in you and you alone, O Lord. There are times we fall, there are times we feel weak, but Lord, through your Holy Spirit, strengthen us, help us to focus on you, O Lord. And also always come with a heart of expectancy and preparation to receive what the Lord is doing in our midst. We give it all into your mighty hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.